Superstition on the air.
Our pleasure to offer you another short story in a series designed to disclose the origins of superstition. This one deals with the belief that crossing your fingers will avert bad luck.
Well, Philip, I guess you're going to be elected the next mayor of our fair city from the looks of these returns that are coming in.
Well, I hope you're right, Fred. I've certainly worked hard for this election.
Oh, you're a cinch, Phil. You can't miss. You've already carried 30 precincts.
Yes, my election does look promising, but I'm going to keep my fingers crossed until the final returns come in.
Why, what good'll that do, Phil?
Well, you know. Keep your fingers crossed and you won't have bad luck.
Oh, come now, Phil. You don't mean to tell me that you actually believe in that.
Well, it never failed me yet, Fred. Every time I've crossed my fingers, bad luck passed me by.
Why, Phil, that's an old superstition that originated in Rome.
Oh, just an old Roman custom, eh, Fred?
Yes. You see, the hand in various gestures played a symbolic part in the life of ancient peoples. In fact, the sign of the open hand is still found upon many of the dwellings in the Orient. It was also used upon the Roman standards as a symbol of triumph. In the combats of gladiators in the Roman arena, the defeated warrior raised his right hand, tightly clenched, except for one finger that he stretched forth, the appeal for mercy. The spectators replied with a thumb sign, thumbs up for release, thumbs down for death.
Well, that's all very interesting, Fred. But where does the custom of crossed fingers come in?
I'm coming to that now, Phil. It was in the time of the Roman Emperor Hadrian, about 134 years after the Christ, when Christianity was slowly but persistently gaining followers among the Roman people. Nevertheless, Christians were still subjected to persecution by officials of the monarchy.
Those early Christians didn't have a very easy time of it, did they?
No, hardly. They were greatly hated by the pagan worshippers, and during this time there was a powerful magistrate in Rome by the name of Verus. He was very fond of Muranus, a young officer who had secretly begun to embrace Christianity. The other officials under Verus' authority were extremely jealous of Muranus and determined to turn Verus against him. As our story opens, a meeting of the council which Verus had called that morning is over. And
now, gentlemen, with the splendid plan Muranus has just outlined, we will have all success in our undertaking. Proceed at once to put the plan into action.
But Verus, my lord, do you not think we may be acting too hastily?
Hey, Fabius, I'm well satisfied. Let us speak no more about it.
Ah, my lord, I am indeed happy that my suggestion has pleased you.
Pleased me? Verily, Muranus, thou art my right hand for dependability. And now, gentlemen, our business is finished. I shall leave you. Come with me, Muranus. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Your Excellency.
Ah, Muranus, I have a surprise for you in reward for your loyal endeavors.
Did you hear that, gentlemen? Truly, this Muranus is gaining too much favor with our Lord Verus.
Yea, Fabius, you are right. And each day, Muranus' influence with our leader increases.
I know, Calvus. And if his power with Verus is not broken soon, our positions will be endangered.
Then we must turn Verus against Muranus.
Hey! Calvus is right!
We must protect ourselves!
Hey, but what can we do? Verus allows no one to speak ill of Muranus.
Wait, gentlemen. Since you all are aware of the danger we face, I shall confide in you something that came to my ears recently. I have learned that Muranus is in great sympathy with the Christians.
What?
If this be true, he may turn Varus to the cause of this degraded sect, and then indeed our power will be destroyed completely.
Then you intend to prove to Varus that Muranus hath become a Christian?
Nay, I cannot do that. It is impossible to get Varus to listen to any accusation against his favorite. We must manage to have Varus see Muranus commit some deed that will incur his wrath.
But that will be impossible, Fabius, for Muranus is too shrewd to do anything of which Varus would disapprove.
I know, Calvus, so we must manage it in another way. You all do know the beautiful Sava, who is the mistress of Varus.
Yay!
I have learned that Sava is deeply enamored of Muranus, and he has always been aloof with her. She feels humiliated that he hath scorned her charms. Now that she is in this mood, I am sure that we can depend on her to aid us in Muranus' downfall.
But how can she help us, Fabius?
This is my plan. I will ask Sava to send for Muranus under pretext that she has important news concerning Varus. While he is in her home, she must manage to make love to him, so that when Varus enters, he will find her in Muranus' arms.
But Fabius, how can we be sure that Varus will go to Sava's home when Muranus is there?
We will take him there ourselves to expose to him the perfidy of Muranus. And gentlemen, you know how quickly Varus doth become outraged. He may kill Muranus, and if he does not, he will banish him.
But what if Sava should repent and tell Varus the truth, Fabius?
Nay, she will not do that. Sava's seeking vengeance, for Muranus hath scorned her. Besides, I will warn her to say to Varus that Muranus hath come unbidden and try to force his attentions upon her.
Splendid, Fabius. And when shall we do this?
Tomorrow evening. Meantime, I will have made all arrangements with Sava.
One other thing, Fabius. Who will accompany Varus to the home of Sava?
Only you and I, Calvus. For if too many attend him, Varus may sense that something is wrong.
Yea, you are right, Fabius.
Then there is nothing more to be said. Gentlemen, let us hope that we succeed in causing the downfall of Muranus.
Yes, Varus, yea.
I will go now to enlist the aid of Sava. Farewell.
Farewell, Fabius. Farewell, Fabius.
Greetings, Muranus. Verily thou art prompt in answering my message. One would think thou were a lover rushing to the summons of his sweetheart.
You said it was urgent, Sava, and that it concerned my beloved friend Varus, so I came at once. Is he in danger?
Wait. We can't talk here, Muranus. Come into my private chamber where no other ears can hear what I have to say to you.
Very well, Sava, but hasten, for I have other things that demand my attention.
Calm, Muranus. Why are you always aloof and cold? How irritating you are. But come, sit here beside me. Now, are you comfortable?
Yes, yes, but come, Sava, what is this news you have for me?
Oh, let that wait. Muranus, am I so repulsive that you should hate me so?
Nay, Sava, I do not hate you. You are lovely and beautiful, but...
Ah, then you have observed my beauty.
What man could behold you and resist your charm?
You, Muranus.
Nay, I have not been ignorant of them, but I...
Yea, Muranus, but what?
You forget that you are the beloved mistress of my good friend Varus. I could never be disloyal to him.
But he need never know.
Nay, Sava, let us talk no more of that.
Ah, but I love you, Muranus. My very being craves your love. Kiss me.
Nay, Sava, this is madness.
Then 'tis a glorious madness that we both desire.
This way, Your Honor.
Ah! So this is how you repay my friendship to you, Muranus. You dog!
Varus, please!
You do not understand.
My lord, you've come just in time to save me from this beast.
'Tis a lie, Ferris. Sava sent for me and...
Nay, my lord, he came here unbidden and forced his attention upon me. Now he seeks to lay the blame on me, the coward.
'Tis a lie, I tell you.
Silence! I did see you embrace her, Muranus.
But, Ferris, you are just. Let me prove my innocence.
Do not listen to him, my lord. He is as wily as a Christian. Verily, he is a Christian.
Hey, Fabius, for only a dog of a Christian would be so disloyal. But he shall die by my sword now!
Wait!
Come, Carlos. Let us get out of here. The evil one has entered this place.
Yea, Fabius.
There. This air is bitter. Did you see what happened, Calvus?
It was all so sudden. As Muranus raised his hand to stop Verus, I saw that his two fingers were crossed. Yea, and...
Yea, and by that sign, Muranus must have called upon the evil one to protect him. For that huge ball of fire crashed down upon Verus and destroyed him in a mass of flames and saved the life of Muranus.
Verily, Fabius, the sign of the crossed fingers must be an omen of good for the Christians.
And so, because of this incident, the belief was spread far and wide that by crossing your fingers you will avert bad luck.
Well, in Muranus' case, it proved lucky, Fred.
But, Phil, it wasn't crossed fingers that saved Muranus, but that ball lightning that changed to strike Verus and kill him.
Yes, Fred, but when Muranus raised his hand with his fingers crossed, it caused Verus to hesitate. And in that moment of hesitation, the ball lightning struck.
Yeah, you're right on that, Phil, but irrespective of whether he hesitated or not, if that ball lightning hadn't happened along just then, Verus would have killed Muranus in spite of his crossed fingers.
Well, maybe, but I'm not taking any chances. I'll still keep my fingers crossed.
Well, congratulations, Phil, you're elected.
Oh, boy, that's great news. Well, Fred, what do you think of crossed fingers now?
Why, you'd have been elected anyway, Phil.
Well, I'm going to turn in now, boys. I've got a big day ahead of me tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, Your Honor,
the mayor.
Hello?
Can I speak to Mr. Philip Abbott, please?
I'm sorry, but the mayor has retired.
Oh, he has he? Well, tell the mayor when he wakes up tomorrow that he isn't the mayor. The 57th precinct reported the wrong count.
And so Phil lost the election. But perhaps crossing his fingers may prove good luck to him after all. It's a tough job being mayor. Au revoir and good luck to you.